everyone. Welcome to Following Ourselves. We are Night of the Girls. I'm Phoebe.
And I'm Star.
And we're back!
I guess.
Yay!
Maybe. Mentally?
Yeah, in a way. Well, we're talking about the 100. We're never going to be mentally here.
I suppose you're right. Yeah.
That's true.
I suppose that is a good logical point.
All right. I don't have any news, but I will share this musing I saw straight from the 100 Reddit. I believe I sent the picture to you, but I didn't offer any kind of, context for it as to why I thought it was interesting. But they were talking about what deaths impacted the show the most. And somebody said, I thought Abby's death was kind of sad. And somebody said, Abby's soul died long before her body.
That is true.
I would say spoilers, but do you really care? Finn's death.
Honestly, her soul dying before her body could, mean any point in the actual TV show, rather than just
I think
that.
It happened long before the show actually began.
Long before she actually lost her show, honestly. Soul.
Honestly. I think we're actually going to have to do a serious previously on, because I don't think we remember what happened last time on the show.
Okay.
So, last time on the 100,
as long as
the
you,
show
like,
we are back.
Understand the tenet. Bellamy's going to get fucked over. Clark is going to be manipulative. Some storm is going to happen that won't ever, give them a moment to breathe. And you pretty much got the gist of the show.
Yep. You got it. 100%.
Hey.
Clark will also be excused for all crimes she has ever done, too.
Absolutely.
I don't know why people say on the Reddit where they're like, everyone gives Clark shit. And I'm like, really? Do they really, though?
Not at all, but
they still put her in the point of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. They just dropped everything and gave her that 100 list, huh?
They did.
I don't know.
Why? Anyways, but yeah, speaking of previously on the 100, so last time we left, everything was fucked over. Completely fucked
when
over.
When was it not, though?
No, which is why I love season 4, because it's it's just everything, guys. Just out the window. Never try to succeed. So they lost the Ark, which they were trying to hide from the Death Wave in. Thanks to Ilion, totally relevant character. That plans out the window. They were gonna go make Nightblood in space, but because Clark decided to get out of a car to go help some people for absolutely no reason, zero reason, they got one of their barrels of fuel for the rocket ship destroyed, so now they can't go into space. But, there is no but at the end of that. Everything's just terrible. Also, Grounder Pounder ran off crying in the woods because of Lincoln or whatever,
what else
you know?
Is new, honestly?
Nothing. Nothing is new on the one. Oh, and also Bellamy got completely basically, you know, there was some sort of Bellark tease where he's like, I need to tell you something if we never see each other again.
Phoebe, what else is new?
Nothing is new! Nothing is new on the 100. But anyways, let's get to this week's episode. Oh boy, a couple of really good episodes. Let me tell ya. Some of their best. Anyways, also, another addition to the shit episode titles. Episode 7, Gimme Shelter. Gimme shelter.
Gimme a man after midnight. No, it's gimme a shelter after midnight.
I was thinking of Life is the Highway. gimme, life is a highway.
Oh my god. That brought back visceral memories of not only cars, but also I had to do a jazz routine or a twirling routine to that.
Oh, that's the worst song to do a freaking jazz routine to.
I just said I did a routine. I did not say I chose that music.
All right. Well, anyways, let's leave this log line. Clark's arrival on the island quickly takes a turn for the worse. Meanwhile, Bellamy tries to avoid further tragedy in Arcadia.
By the way, there's nobody else on the island. It's just Clark.
It's just Clark.
Apparently.
The real trouble is when she realizes that she is the one who causes all the problems.
Choking on my water.
No problem. That's how we roll.
I'm just I'm always the food and the water person, and you're just like, let's get on a roll. And I'm like, well.
throat full of freaking whatever it is you're eating.
I always have something new every episode. Tune in next time for Starless Treats. Today,
what are you eating today?
Okay, so I got a bagel from Denny's, and I mixed it with some egg, bacon, avocado, and sriracha mixed together and put on the bagel.
Oh,
and it tastes pretty
that
damn
is,
good.
That sounds like it would taste really good. So we're gonna start out with Arctavia. Arctavia.
Oh, that sounds like a
the ship
name.
Between Octavia and the Ark. It's a ship.
That bothers me.
A ship between a ship.
See, when I... Well, no, I'm not going to go down that tangent. Let's continue.
Don't, Star.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Don't.
I withheld myself.
Good.
You're like, all right, good, well, shut up.
Good. Octavia here. Mm-hmm. She is just riding through the woods.
What's up,
chilled
dude?
Out a little bit.
All right, that's good to hear.
Chilled out a little bit.
Just a tiny
you know?
Bit. She like, just... wiped off a little bit of the makeup. Just a little bit.
Yeah. She isn't running like a little bitch crying through like, which is basically what she did last episode. And now she's riding through the woods and she comes across Ilion. Mm-hmm. So, and they're like, well, we're two characters that exist, huh? Mm-hmm.
We're also like, so, young, so people wouldn't mind sitting through a sex scene with us.
I'm a grounder.
You're a pounder. Okay.
We could figure out a way to make this work. So, they're just chilling in the woods when, uh-oh, as if life couldn't get any worse.
Oh.
It's like, nah.
Yeah. No, hold up. We're not even there, dude. What are you doing?
No. Black rain has come. It has come. This black rain means they only have a week left to live.
Oh, lovely.
But it also means you might just have a couple of seconds to live because it's deadly. Like, it will burn you. And it literally starts as poor Bellamy pulls up, like, literally parks the rover from his last freaking excursion where he almost got ran over. Yeah. He's also completely unsure as to what is, like, standing with his whatever love interest.
Freaking, used tentatively like, with quotation marks around it. Love interest.
Love interest. He's like, I'm very confused. Was that a yes? Or a no?
It was, you're in the friend zone perpetually.
She called me special, but like, what kind of special? Is that like mental special?
Like, oof.
Did she just underhand insult me?
No, he wouldn't get to that. He wouldn't be able to comprehend that far.
Nah, he's like, nah, I'm sure she meant in the nice way. But no, Black Death, so everyone's gotta run. Everyone is outside of Arcadia at this moment. Like, everyone.
Everyone was like, you know what, it's a nice sunny day, we gotta be out in the weather, all nice. Hey, look at it, it's a cloud. Oh, shit, that fell in my eye. It burns!
Ow! And everyone runs, and they all run. So, they, as they're running, though, Harper, character we totally care about, she accidentally elbows a dude. Causing him to get, like, trampled by the crowd and get caught in the rain. So, accidentally.
Yes. Never had any accidental situations before, you know.
Also, it's, like, not her fault at all. The guy was grabbing onto her, like, trying to pull her.
Mm-hmm. Into the acid rain with you.
Into the acid rain you go. So, everyone's, like, inside, they're all in absolute pain, they're trying to wash themselves off, with clean water,
yeah.
And Bellamy is immediately, like, still grinning through the fact that he's, like, covered in acid rain, is like, but where's Octavia? And he's, like, about to straight up just run out into that rain there, but Kane's like, no, Bellamy, don't go into the acid rain.
Don't go into the
after
abyss.
Your idiot sister, who literally is, like, willing to kill people right now, alright? Just let it go. Let it go. But we immediately cut after our title card that we get between this scene.
I'm sorry.
Just a lot of tribal screaming. Everyone, we cut to everyone is stripping off to get the rain off. So, hey, cheesecake. Cheesecake for all.
All around. It's never been against the cheesecake
Harper,
before.
Monty, Bellamy, Kane, unfortunately. It's a wide variety here. Whatever is your fancy.
I mean, they'll all be naked at one point. Don't worry.
Oh, no. Anyway, so like while they're all stripping, there's the radio comes in, and there's two guys just stuck in the rain. They are like stuck outside underneath, like, in, like, a cave or whatever.
Ray!
No, you're gonna say
but
it!
But Peter Parker, would... because they're not gay!
But Peter Parker, because they're not gay!
In the rain! Okay, I'm done.
Luckily for Octavia, maybe not luckily for Bellamy, considering where she is, but you know what? Lucky for Octavia and Illion, they make it to a cave.
Ah.
And also strip.
Oh, yeah. Of course they would.
Oh, yeah.
Of course they would.
Octavia's getting some flashbacks, let me tell ya.
Oh, yeah. Too bad there's no chains, huh?
Anyway, so she tells Illion to make... Good line. She tells Illion to make a fire, because that's what he's good at. So, good burn. Good fire-based burn there.
Sometimes.
So, yeah, with all this death and with all this destruction, Bellamy's literally the one thing he cares about is, like, completely away from him, and he has no way to protect, like, his sister. And people are dying and excruciating agony.
Meanwhile.
That's Clark. She's having a pretty good time.
Yeah, she's
reunited with Abby. She gets to see the cool spaceship and all of the lab, and everything's going good,
she's got
good,
a giant,
you know?
Pillow. She's got a giant bed. Yeah. She's got a giant room.
Oh, we're
going
to get to that.
All right.
She's great. Everything's great. Mm-hmm. She goes to Abby, who she wants to extract Luna's bone marrow as an option.
They're just reusing plot points at this point.
They are. Abby's like, so I was looking over some notes by this, like, doctor named Lorelei Singh.
Crazy shit.
She has some pretty good ideas.
Yeah. And then Abby pops a pill.
Abby, do you have a drug habit? She's like, what? No, I don't.
Don't look at those wine glasses over there.
Don't look at the wine glasses.
That is not a blood pouch. Don't look at the blood pouch.
But anyways, now they find out that Luna's bone marrow might be able to translate into normal night blood. But in order to test it, they need to expose someone to deadly amounts of radiation.
I mean, you couldn't just take, like, a tissue sample and, like, give that a go.
That's a good point!
Why didn't they, like,
that's a good point.
You could have just done a biopsy.
They could have taken a tissue sample with live cells in it, and then they would have, like, literally just, like, tested the cells to see if they died off or not.
Why would you want to do that, though? Like, it's not like...
No, we have to be traumatic.
It's not like, you know, we were about to blast a fucking spaceship into space to try to make this blood thing happen. Like, it's, you know, a biopsy, seriously, you can't do that. You've literally, operated on Raven over there, but okay. Anyways,
Clark is immediately like, all right, who do we test, all right? I've got my eyes on Jackson. He's kind of outweighing his you know, usefulness now. Maybe that Miller guy, but ooh. He's gay. We may not be able to do that. Like, we may not be able to get away with that again. All right. Mm-hmm. Who else do we got? Maybe we should get that grounder girl, huh?
Yeah, Murphy's the one girlfriend. That's, like, not like us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she's also, like, you know, got a deformity. Ew, gross. Let's test her, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, no, we should totally figure out who we should test. But, okay, for people who don't believe our headcanon, that Clark is manipulating absolutely everyone to get her way. It is totally... No, she's totally the side of good and the beacon of moral, like, certainness or whatever. Why does she immediately say, who do we test, instead of offer herself up first? Like, straight up. Whose instinct, aside from the manipulative, only self-centered part, would be like, all right, who are we gonna just shove into this tube, all right?
She hints at it. It's all in the hints. It's all in the analytical data.
Yeah, when you actually, the subtext! Mm-hmm.
You gotta write it all down and, like, slowly analyze it like we do. Honestly.
Luckily, Amori is not a person who needs to. She immediately hears this thing as, like, yeah, they're gonna put me in that fucking tube, aren't they?
She's smart. This is a scene that made me love her. But also, one other thing. Like, this is literally a analytical tactic where you, like, write everything out that's happening and then, like, try to read between the lines. That is what we're doing.
Yes! We are analyzing this, unfortunately. No one should analyze the 100, but we are.
And where has that gotten us?
Nowhere.
Anyways, let's continue.
Anyway, so Clark is like, Abby's like, Clark is like, hey, Mom, why are you shaking so much? And Abby's like, enough, daughter. Why don't you go take a shower, get your mind off these things? And she's like, oh, okay. I don't want to think about hard decisions. I want to go take a shower. Meanwhile, cut to Arcadia, where everyone is horribly dying. There's no room in Med Bay. There's two guys stuck out in the rain. Bellamy is not going to, like, he ain't gonna sit around and wait for people to die, all right? He has found
maybe
some
he should,
sort of
though, honestly.
I mean, he really should learn. Oh, but we'll see. Let's just say that this episode has a little bit of a moral. It's a very special episode for Bellamy. So Bellamy has found some sort of burnt out, like, radiation suit, all right? Mm-hmm. And he is putting it on himself while also duct taping himself. And you just gotta, like, take a step back and be like, bud, bud, come on. You really think this is gonna work? Come on.
Phoebe, he's just reliving his childhood mecha dreams, okay? Just let him.
Mecha,
let him...
What is mecha, though?
Okay.
I was confused.
Okay, you don't know what mecha is? It's like anime, you know, those giant robots.
Oh, that. So he wants to go.
Yeah.
Giant robot. Oh, I get it now. Yeah.
Poor Bellamy. He's trying.
He's trying. This is what, okay, let's be honest. We call Clark manipulative, all right? Mm-hmm. But at the exact same time, if this is what he's doing when she is gone.
Maybe he needs her.
Maybe he does kind of need her.
But not really.
Maybe she need, okay, Bellamy, that's a bad idea.
He just regressed a little bit.
Just a little bit. But anyway, so, but he's, like, going out, and Kate's like, dude, this is, even I can see that this is not a good idea, alright? Bellamy is like, I'm gonna go after them, because his son is part of the 100. I'm totally not ignoring any emotional issues by doing this. Yes. Totally not, like, just me trying to cope with the fact that I've lost the only important relationship I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Anyways, bye! Bellamy gets his ass out into that rain, walks away, like he thinks he's doing a badass move. No, it's not.
It starts
Surprise,
sizzling.
It doesn't work. It starts sizzling. He starts screaming in pain.
What did he think would happen? But then again, that's it. He doesn't think so.
He doesn't think. This is a totally great plan here. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Makes it to the rover. Luckily, but the suit is, like, you know, damaged, so it's either he waits in the rover, or he goes out and tries to find the people, and he's like, I'm gonna go try to save the people. Again, totally not avoiding any emotional issues I've got while I'm at
it's
it, you
fine.
Know, just gonna...
Are we at the like, lovable dumbass got burnt yet? Because, like...
we've already
okay,
have.
I
oh, yeah,
you
level...
Yeah, because I was just gonna say, like, depending on the season, Crispy Bellamy... I don't know. Somebody might like to eat that.
No! What the fuck?
It happened in season 5. Oh, no! Cannibalism is canon! And I will never not
Opens
drop
the
that.
The floodgates of jokes. Cannibalism. I was listening back to our first ever recording of us listening to the pilot. And you were like, I mentioned something about cannibalism, and you're like, oh, that would be a dark thing. And I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it would.
Yeah, that would be very, very dark indeed.
Very dark indeed, Star. Mm-hmm. To be honest, though, what is a survival show without cannibalism in some form?
I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, I thought when they brought in the Reapers, that was all they were going to touch of it, but.
No, they do. Oh, boy, do they do it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, but he makes it to the rover. He's going after the guys stuck in the rain, putting himself in harm's way because that's literally his factory default. We're gonna cut to Clark. She's just, you know, walking through the woods with Amori, chatting up her next victim. She's like, hey, so, Amori, you know, you ever see yourself, where do you see yourself in 5 years, you know? Mm-hmm. Or maybe at the end of this day, you know? Is it a tube? Do you see yourself in a tube? Like, filled with the radiation? Huh. You don't? Okay, well.
Maybe we could fix that.
I mean, have you ever thought of the benefits?
Maybe you don't need to. Maybe I could just, like,
I mean,
walk you over
blood,
there.
All the rage nowadays. I mean, mm-hmm. It would make your skin, like, absolutely
I know you're,
pop.
Like, super into, like, fitting in and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It would be amazing. Wouldn't you want to fit in with the radiation? You know, wouldn't you want to not die? Or, well, possibly horribly die, but, you know, maybe not die? You know, might be nice. And Amori is just like, all right, let's see where this bitch is going. And she just starts I love it. I love her in this scene, because she just starts throwing out flattery out the wazoo. She's like, you're really special. Your people yeah. really need you.
I really understand why they gave you the power to do the 100, because clearly you are the only person who understands.
Yes. By the way, Your hair, absolutely gorgeous.
I love how you just, like, bleached it to the point where it hardly sticks to your head. Like, it is great.
Yeah, it's so reflective. Yeah. It's, like, the moonlight glowing off of it and making it into its own light source.
Oh, God, did you just burn down that nearby village? Great job.
Ooh, amazing. Beautiful.
I see why you and Finn were a thing for a while.
She's like, what? She's like, well... Thank you.
And she's like,
no one ever notices that.
Nobody ever notices the villages I burned down. Thank you for vitally noticing.
No one ever notices the villages I burned down. They get back in, and I like it. You see Murphy's there. He's having a good time. He's, like, actually cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, out of a cookbook. Apparently it's good.
So Murphy's
like, he is free now that he knows that Jaha is nowhere near him. Like, he's at least... hundreds of miles away across an ocean, all right? He's giving the time of his life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No one's trying to hang him. No, he's not having his fingers torn out. Things are good.
All right.
But anyways,
he would be a housewife, take a shower. That would be really sweet. Yeah. Maury and Murphy.
Murphy as a house husband? That would be great.
Honestly, yeah.
Let's be honest.
I could see it.
So, but anyways, as the second that Clark leaves, Maury turns to him and is like, all right, we gotta get the fuck out of here. She's totally gonna test on me. And Murphy's like, yep, sounds 100% accurate.
Let's get the fuck out of here. It's not like she did that after she slept with Lexa and ditched me.
Exactly.
He knows. He knows.
He knows. So, Clark goes to take a nice shower, has a nice bed, with more pillows than there probably ever were on the Ark. Mm-hmm. Like 15 pillows.
She has all the pillows. Oh my god.
She's like, so, where's Bellamy right now, by the way?
Oh,
yeah. He's in the fucking rover going through acid rain.
Oh, man.
To go save two guys who, let's be honest here, probably gonna die.
I don't even know these guys, so since they're red shirts, definitely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I guess it's not all sunshine and rainbows, because some guy breaks into the house.
Oh, no.
He attacks Maury, almost kills her, when Murphy knocks him out with a cutting board. The house husband.
Aha. Using his...
here to save the day.
Using his weaponry properly.
Maury freaks out and says she knows this guy, because he used to torture her and her brother. Which, yeah... forgot he existed.
I don't even remember when that was dropped, which is, like, how small of a
he got part killed. Does she know her brother's dead? Does she care?
That's never brought up either. It's just
no
dead brother. All right, he was sucky anyways.
Well, now we're gonna cut to a live brother who is going on his guilt trip through the rain. It's like a field trip, yeah. But. You know,
don't actually
a lot
have
more
to get,
sad and
yeah.
traumatizing.
And you don't have to get parental, permission or anything, and, you know.
Yeah, because both of your parents are dead, and it's your fault.
Yeah, it is your fault. Remember that every waking day.
Things are taking a turn for the worst with the red shirts, because the wind has changed, and the cave that they're in, the rain has started blowing in it. So, whoops.
Well... you tried. That's what matters.
So, no. Well, Bellamy's not... He can't get that through his head. No, he's gotta go faster. So he picks up the pace. Unfortunately, this results in the rover getting stuck in the mud with the rain.
I love the comment I put here. Because it's just so long, okay? Damn! Remember that time you got stuck in the mud in a solar-powered vehicle while it was raining? But not only that, the rain was acid, and on top of that, the entire world was about to explode in a couple months? Yeah, well times.
Wild times.
Just all of this Clark shit.
This is what Clark says, and then she's like, yeah, by the way, I was taking a shower at that time. Mm-hmm. That was great.
I had this massive bed with, like, more pillows.
They had Bath and Body Works scent in there.
Oh my god.
It was the cherry blossom.
It lasted
Bellamy.
For 1 year. It lasted for 100 years, guys. Through a nuclear
apocalypse. That stuff lasts. I still have Bath and Body Works scent that is from like 2013. Mm-hmm. So
I just never splurged. So I only have.
Too much. Too much. So Bellamy sees the situation and he's like, he is seriously like sees the death rain downpouring, and is like, all right, guess that there's only one thing to do. Get out and push the rover in the death rain. Get myself killed. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Kane over the radio is like, Bellamy, don't do that. Get your ass in here.
Dude, your life, your hair, hair is too valuable. I actually said life instead of hair, my bee.
That's great, your hair. What if that was the way it was? He was like, your life. I mean, your hair. It's way too valuable.
Wait, my life.
Wait, I think I've messed this up. Hang on, let me try again.
It's like his true intentions are really showing through. He's that dumb.
Bellamy's just like, I'm gonna go kill myself now. jump out sooner. Rolling down the windows to make it happen sooner. Just, but no.
This nice wind, the acid rain pattering my face.
Yeah. It's just, this is probably one of my favorite Bellamy-centered episodes, because it is really good writing. Because, like, this, he's so determined to save these guys. Mainly, it's pretty much stated by him that he's doing it as a way to kind of distract himself from the fact that his sister's out there and he doesn't know how to do it. But also, there's, like, the undertone that he's, like, you know, still in his factory default mode of relentless guilt. But now it becomes to this point where Kane talks him down and he's like, dude, you're basically running this place, all right? You're gonna, like, it's either lose two people or lose three people, you know? There's no point in it. But no, and then, so then it comes to this really intense moment where Bellamy has to come over the radio. He has to, and like, it's literally this talk where Kane's trying to tell him, like, yeah, you can't get yourself killed because we need you. And then Bellamy is literally listening to them scream on the radio that they need his help. And then this leads to Bellamy having to do the soul-crushing action of literally be like, I can't save you. I have to save myself. And it's, like, intense. And they're, like, angry at him. And they're like, you said you were gonna save us. And then he has this whole mental breakdown about it. Mm-hmm. And then he loses power. No power for him.
Now I'm cold.
So now he has to cry and scream in the dark.
Damn. Do you remember that time you got stuck in the mud in a solar-powered vehicle while you were super, super cold while it was raining? And then not only that, the rain was acid. And then on top of that, the entire world was going to explode in a couple months. Wild times.
Wild times. Anyways, now we're going to cut to Clark, warm, by a fire, in an air-conditioned house.
In her bed. She's not in her bed, but she has a bed.
But she's, like, listening to Amori talk about how she was horribly mentally scarred by this person who attacked her. Mm-hmm. Clark's like, can she just stop going on? Mm-hmm. And it's on,
like, I already made up my mind, dude. Like, I just need to wheeze it in here to, like, figure this out. I already got a way to fix this situation. Just stop talking already. Say
yeah,
less.
Just like, yeah, exactly. So, and also, I love it. Amori just straight up turns to Clark and is like, yo, like, you think you have any right? Clark starts to do the, you need to calm down about him, you know? Maybe, she, like, it's like, she guilts Amori, which is, like, the gross part about it. Clark is like, oh, you laid into him more than he laid into you. And I think this is when, like, the kind of, because, like, sort of spoilers, there's a lot more going on here with Amori. She's not entirely telling the truth. Mm-hmm. But I like to think of the fact that this is Amori dropping the facade and just straight up with full and honest emotion turning to Clark and being like, go fuck yourself. Just straight up. Because she's like, you were born on the Ark and were like, said you were special and put in this position of power where you had everything. I have a claw for a hand and my mom threw me away.
I'm gonna fuck you up.
I'll fuck you up. I may be able to crush a can with this thing and your throat, so back the fuck up.
And she does.
Just straight up. And then she's like, I mean, I'm so horribly scarred about this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we should do something about it. Meanwhile, this guy is saying that the guy in question who got captured says he was just trying to get food. Even though he did try to kill Amori, though. Mm-hmm. He did try to, like, kill her, stab her. But, hey, Murphy's being a good boyfriend and, you know, torturing him. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah, good boyfriend vibes from him. I like that.
Clark, she sees this entire thing going awry And she's like, well, you guys just listen to my idea here. Mm-hmm. Guys, I've been trying to subtly slip it in, like, and find the opportunity.
She's like a teacher in kindergarten flipping on and off the light switch. Like, hello, everybody, quiet down. I got an idea.
Yeah, plop down. All right, mm-hmm. Hang on. I have this idea. Mm-hmm. What if, you know, we just kill him?
Yeah.
We just fry him.
You know, I see
a little bit of opportunity here.
I found a solution, guys. Amori, you hate this guy. Here's the thing.
Revenge, pointless, all right? Mm-hmm. Revenge is pointless, all right? Using people. Now that, you guys need to learn that you need to have people, you need to use their advantages. Use them to your advantage.
See, I think that's too straightforward for Clark. I think she would just be like, Amori, I see you hate this guy because he tortured you, and I need a way to, like, get out my human testing needs. So, like, it's a win-win. And everybody agrees.
I need to play God, so, you know.
Yeah, she does have a little bit of a God complex, doesn't she?
That's literally the name of the next episode! So, unfortunately, we're gonna cut to this scene. Awkward cave bonding between Ilya and Octavia. They're literally standing there in silence.
Can we not?
They're just like, they're like, so. Like, Octavia's, like, sharpening a rock, and Ilya's just kind of like, so, kill guys with that thing? Octavia's like, you've seen me kill guys with that thing, mm-hmm. this thing. It's like, And then immediately Ilya's like, okay, cut the edgelord bullshit, though, because it's, like, really annoying. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you're not a killer or whatever.
Except there's a
good side to you.
By definition, she technically is a killer no matter what. Like,
no, she still is a killer.
She's killed somebody. So,
yeah.
No matter what you say... She's
to be honest, though, she is being a little bit of a, like, she is being a complete edgelord. Because she's like, he's like... I felt bad, really bad, when I killed all those people. Which, okay, alright. So what? You killed all those people. But at the exact same time, Octavia's like, no, you feel something when you kill somebody. I feel nothing. And then it's like, you shitting me. He literally watched her run away, crying. Like a wussy teenager. Who learned she couldn't go to the prom. And he's like, uh-huh, sure. You're a soulless killer. I 100% believe you. There's no good in you whatsoever. You're not. You're totally force to be reckoned with.
I support your edgelord phase right now.
That's true, though. But anyways, so I don't support this, though. Hmm. Octavia, after being called out on this shit.
Nobody likes to be called out, you know.
Yeah, no, she immediately gets up and is like, what's the point anymore? And just tries to go walk into the rain.
In the rain! See, I think she's just got embarrassed and she wants to just kill herself and deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, I feel, goals. Yeah. Relatable.
Relatable.
Hashtag relatable.
Yeah.
But at the exact same time, it's some of the worst.
Relatable teen quotes. The Tumblr page.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to... So many times somebody calls, realizes that you're not an edgelord, mm-hmm. and you just want to walk into acid rain to kill yourself.
I mean, I would feel that way.
It's no joke, though. This is some of the worst writing I've ever witnessed. Like, just straight up.
I think they just did not know what to do with Octavia.
Like, okay. They literally had to figure out, they're like, okay, she's way too obsessed with Lincoln. Mm-hmm. We need to find a way to get her out of this.
Now we're just gonna
Tries to kill herself!
Yeah, only obsessed
with... That's how you write that.
Yeah, we're not gonna, like, we're gonna make her so unobsessive that it's crazy.
So instead, you know the way to cure, the cure to suicide, though?
Not suicide, maybe?
No.
Okay.
No, it's fucking... It's fucking.
It's just fucking living up to her fucking name.
No, yeah, it's just fucking. She founds another grounder!
It's because they she just sex. Hasn't found out how to pound the ground yet, so she's just pounding the next thing. The next best thing.
The next best thing.
It'd be like that sometimes.
With the Blakes, it unfortunately does.
Uh-huh.
So, Abby, she's starting to get the shakes. Normal. Just a normal Tuesday for her. She's like, my hand's getting a little bit less wavy, if anything. Things are going good. Like,
it's fine.
Takes some more Adderall. Goes to Kate. Calls him on the radio. And she's like, yo, dude. Okay, so here's the thing, though. Is there a way to kill someone for your own benefit? Like, even if it's like for the end of the world to help everyone. Is there a way to not be a horrible monster?
I mean, I think you just need to get into the mindset you were in when you killed your husband.
And then husband! Maybe, why?
Maybe that
like,
help.
That's a plot. That's the problem with these next couple of episodes, is, like, they're all complaining about, like, oh, we don't want to be monsters for testing on a person, or possibly killing them, when they have legit, holy no, they were gonna kill hundreds of people, mm-hmm. and killed them.
They're just so, like, I don't want to do it now, and, like, right in front of me, you know?
I don't like it when they can see me. That's yeah. not a good
Yeah,
look.
That causes, like, some emotional reaction in my body, and I don't like it.
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like this. But Abby's like, straight up like, yo, so I could kill someone, right?
And they're just like,
if like yeah. I had a good reason.
Yeah.
And Kane's like, knowing she's killed her husband.
He's like, you like, know, I think you need to sit down and find Jesus right now, actually. Because I'm about to
did
die.
You not know that I am this universe's basically, I'm basically this universe's Jesus. Because I literally got hung on a cross.
Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it works out.
Sometimes it works out. Anyways, so Kane immediately gets off the phone with Abby, and he's like, that's not going anywhere.
Oh boy.
I really need to, like, feel good about myself and maybe help someone out of, like, a more, like, a tough spot. Anyways, Bellamy, how's it going with those guys that died?
Hey, Bellamy, let me just take care of you so I feel good about myself. What's life? How's life?
He's like, hey, how's life? And Bellamy just comes on the radio and is like, those two guys are dead. I tried to save
and
them.
And he was like, oh yeah, no, Kane is like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Damn. Well, you tried. Your mom would be proud.
That's basically how it was. He's, like, legit, though. Like, he's just, like, going through all of his character development. And is like, I killed all these people.
Yeah.
I tried to protect these people. I can't even protect my sister. I came down here for nothing. Everything's terrible. I'm a horrible monster. And then Kane is like, oh, don't worry, bro. Your mom would be proud of you. And even Bellamy. Even Bellamy. Has the self-respect, has enough
very
of it.
Very rare. That's super rare. But it comes out in this circumstance. It's like
it's like a quarter of a teaspoon, but it's enough.
It's only directed towards this.
Yeah. No, he's like, you floated my mother! Hangs up. And Kate's like, well, that didn't work. Hey, Harper, you killed a guy? Well, sucks to be you.
He's like, looks around real fast to like find somebody else to comfort. It's like, oh, Harper.
He's like, Harper, hey, how's that guy you killed?
See, I'm gonna go with my
it'll be all right. Your mother's proud of you. Fucking Kane. Like, well, that didn't, I guess two strikes, I'm almost out. Hey, Harper, how, you killed a guy. That sucks to be them, but you can change. Yeah. Walks away. Harper cries. Makes Harper cry. Damn. It's been a good day for Kane.
Kane just walking away like he did something great, like the Rain Man or something.
Been a really good mentor character. But anyways, so we get to kind of like the ender of this, and we find...
The rain has stopped, symbolically showing new life. The new life that has been found in Octavia, because she has found a new purpose in life to pound all the grounders! She throws away Lincoln's knives, which is the only good thing about this scene.
Yeah, honestly, at least she lets go of Lincoln.
Yes.
But she literally is just like, there are so many more grounders to pound. Oh my gosh, I forgot about this. Like, holy crap, I could just do all of them. And she walks into the sunset to find more grounders to bang. Anyways, we get our slow, deep song wind down, which has been a while. Bellamy... He arrives back from his fun time, having not saved anyone, cried in a car for presumably hours, and having witnessed two people die as they cursed his name. Kane's like there to comfort him, and Bellamy's just straight up like, get the fuck away, what did I tell you? Do you think we're still friends after that shit?
And
pull that shit with my, you flew my mother? mother? Like, Laura, you say that my mother would be proud of you?
And then,
go off.
And then Kane's not even listening because he's kind of looking at the hair right now and he's like, damn, that he's like, volume.
Wow, even, I think the acid rain actually improved
He's
it.
Like taking a cup and like filling it up from a puddle or something and he's just like, oh, like, yeah, okay, I know.
Ah! It burns! Bellamy's like, son of a fucking bitch. Just walks away.
Bellamy's just like, given up. There's no hope there.
He's like, can the death wave come sooner? Where is it? Honestly, can I go just run towards it? But, okay, so we get this end scene where Rowan Helt is here. He's been here this entire time, but they have not utilized him at all. So, weird. Mm-hmm. But hey, he's here. He's helping set up the grounder to be experimented on. And everything, and they're watching him, like, all dramatically.
I guess they just couldn't, like, pay his actor or something?
I don't know. Maybe they filmed that for the next episode. They just tacked it on here.
Wow. Yeah, it was really awkward, because Rowan did not show up in any of this.
Yeah, no, where was he?
He just appeared. Like, I don't remember him ever being in the house.
Okay, really. So Becca's got a pool. We see her mansion. She's got a pool. What if he was in, like, the hot tub this entire time?
He has a beer. He's like, oh, so this is the American way of life. Interesting.
Yeah, he's just watching these guys deal with this Raider guy, and he's like, I'm not getting involved in this teenager drama.
I was like, yeah, it'll be fine.
We'll figure it out.
He's like literally the 100s Wolverine.
He is, kind of. But anyway, so Clark, she makes the grand speech to everyone just to make sure that she's on the moral high ground, all right? She's like, none of us like what we're doing here. And I'm like, you sure, Clark? Mm-hmm. You sure? That sounds like what somebody who actually absolutely likes what they're doing here would say.
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell at all. Anyways.
Like, just randomly is out of like, well, like, we don't like what we're doing here. Hide the smile. She's like, I'm yawning, guys. I'm yawning.
Yeah, don't mind the smile covered by yawn, guys. Fine.
So tired. I had a hard sleep on those 15 pillows.
Those 15.
Too many pillows.
It's like the entire friendly. House doesn't have pillows either. She just took all of them.
She took all of the pillows. And imagine she just, like, tried. So she lays down, but it's super uncomfortable as, like, sleeping on a bunch of pillows is. Mm-hmm. But she's, like, too stubborn to return them. So she's like, it's fine.
She'd probably just not sleep on them and put them next to her, like, on the ground. But she still wouldn't give them back.
Wouldn't give them back. Or he goes and, like, Clark, can I have a pillow? Me and Amori are, like, trying to sleep. And she's like, no, I need them. They're necessary.
Yeah, sorry. Don't mind the giant pile of pillows over there. They're
don't
still
mind
nice.
The giant pillows. They're very necessary.
Yeah, they give me comfort. Fuck off.
They look nice. Fuck off. I imagine she'd say fuck off to only Murphy. Like, she only says fuck off to Murphy.
Damn.
But, okay, so we end this. And this is absolutely amazing. Just plot twist, though. This entire time, Amori was lying. This isn't like, she doesn't know this guy. She knew she was gonna get put into the tube, so she offered to substitute.
Yeah. This was the moment that I really loved Amori, because I was like, damn!
Intentional manipulation!
Damn! And like,
she out-manipulated the manipulator.
And it was a pretty good moment, honestly. I really enjoyed that.
And now, yeah, like, we're gonna get into it, but this is, like, one of the best episodes of the series, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, literally everyone gets good character development, because, like, Bellamy has enough of Kane grooming him, Grounder Pounder has given up Lincoln, which is good, and, you know, Clark is revealed to be a complete dumbass. The world is in balance.
Oh, but the thing
everything
is
good.
I felt Zen come over me when Clark got a taste of her own medicine. Like, the good thing here is that, like, for Amori, like, it doesn't show that she's doing the good thing here. It's unlike Clark when, like, she's always, I don't know, she'll pull a fast one and nobody
and honestly, it's,
it.
Like, it's definitely a morally gray situation, mm-hmm. because that guy was still gonna kill her, though.
Yeah.
It's not like he's innocent.
But also, at least they address it with Amori, though. Like, they never address it with Clark.
No, they never do.
Anyways.
When they try to, they absolutely fail. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, episode 8, God Complex.
I wonder who that could be talking about.
I wonder. Listening back to our commentary, and, like, we start the episode, I'm like, God Complex, I guess this is a Clark-centered episode.
How could we have known?
Alrighty, basically, so Clark and Abby question how far they're willing to go when they make a disappointing discovery. I feel like disappointing isn't exactly the descriptor, yeah, but it's all right.
There's been a lot of disappointing discoveries. I feel like this would be different.
Clark was a disappointing discovery.
Indeed.
This is kind of, you know, a little bit morally skeevy. Jaha finds the lead to the Second Dawn. Mm.
Second Dawn, guys, that won't mean anything at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely irrelevant.
You definitely shouldn't shove a giant season 7 pin in there.
No, never. Never. So they're gonna test this guy.
Uh-huh.
And Clark once again reiterates, they don't want to do this.
Yes. Oh no, whatever shall I do but do this thing? It's not like biopsies are a thing.
Yeah, or I could use myself.
It's
totally only this guy.
I really care about humans, by the way. I just want to clarify
While she's going on this tirade, Murphy's like, we get it. The death wave's coming in a week. We need to get this quick, all right?
Let's go. Hurry up.
Let's hurry up. Like, Murphy's the only one who's, like, aware that they make these decisions all the time. He's like, this is nothing normal. We've done this hundreds of times.
Come on, let's go. Hurry up.
Let's go. I have literally held the heart of the person who sexually abused me in my hands. Nothing matters anymore.
That's a dark
Let's
situation.
Turn on the machine.
Gordon Ramsay of the 100, ladies and gentlemen.
So, anyways, they throw that lever, they let it rip, they start irradiating the guy. Mm-hmm. He basically explodes blood.
And this is why you don't stay on tanning beds for too long. You will explode.
She's like, don't worry, my friend. You're getting a wonderful tan.
Oh, that went wrong.
Explodes. Well.
Whoopsie
daisy. Abby's like, well. Whoopsie daisy.
So,
where are we going to find another one? Where are we going to find another one?
We're going to hold off on the tanning booths for a little while.
Abby's like, no, first, guys, I'm going to take a tan real quick. I'm going to be good looking for Kane. Anyway, so we're going to cut to Arcadia. 18 people are dead.
Finn
it is a normal day.
A little while ago, and he just mowed everybody down. It's just the usual Finn 18, guys. It happens every little while.
The Finn calling. Mm-hmm. His name's Finn Collins. The Finn calling. Finn calling. So, funeral being held, and Bellamy's there. Why is he at
He's always there, isn't he?
The last place he should be is a funeral, quite frankly. That he's, like, being all broody and sad because he was supposed to save all those guys.
Okay.
But meanwhile, Jasper, he's just going off into the woods by himself. He's being all, you know, he's like, well, nothing matters anymore. Woohoo! Bellamy cannot comprehend this idea of anyone in their entire lives being happy. So he's, like, curious, honestly, but at the exact same time, he needs to play protector to distract himself from the ever-closing darkness. So, yay! Road trip! Woohoo! They're going out to go into the woods.
Yeah, quirky road trip with Jasper and Bellamy. The uptight and the carefree. Woo!
Both horribly mentally unstable.
With a twist. The road trip with a twist.
A funny comedy. The twist is, both of them are mentally scarred.
It doesn't get better, by the way. It doesn't get better.
For either of them.
No, it's like a buddy cop film, but it's like actually real. Realistic. Alrighty, but somebody just got murdered in a horrible way today. You ready to go? Yep. Is that going to affect the way we treat our family? Yep. Are we going to be divorced in 10 years? Yep. Alrighty.
Yep. Alcohol addiction? Yep. Alright. Just a couple of bros.
We're the best.
Cut to Nyla. She's here for some reason.
She's here. She's queer, and she's basically always going to be there. Get used to it.
She's basically always going to be here. She's here because she's queer.
And she will always be here because she cut off Clark Griffin, which is probably the smartest move you could ever do.
Honestly, I feel like you could replace Nyla with a cardboard cutout with, like, a note
you
stuck
could,
to her.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised she was at the end as well. I was like,
honestly. Again, my current theory, again, it's just because they realized she was queer or she was gay, and they realized they couldn't kill
See,
another gay person.
In the 100, it can be either good or bad. Either, like, you're gay, and you're either pre-season 3 or you're post-season 3. And it's either really good or really bad for you, depending on which season it is.
You're really good or really bad.
If you're around Lexus time, that might be a bad sign.
Yep, nope. But if you were after, well, she paved the way by dying.
By getting murdered in the sex dress.
By walking in front of a bullet. Like, literally clipping in front of a bullet.
It's anyway, pretty impressive.
So, Nyla's doing some funeral rites. It includes the phrase, "From the ashes we will rise."
How's that working out for you? Or ever?
Yeah, no. No one's rising from the ashes. They're like, that's kind any of the second
hope.
Now.
That's kind of the hope. We want them to stay ashes. Thank you.
What if somebody emerged and they're like, "Help! I'm horribly burned!
Nyla's
ain't never ends!"
It's Crispy Bellamy from the other episode.
No! Jaha thinks that this means there's a second bunker, because if they have the phrase from the grounders, "From the ashes we will rise," which was a part of the second dawn, that must mean they have some sort of connection.
Oh.
And he uses, so he got from the, when he went, they went to the fake bunker that got, was actually wrong, right? Like, that was actually destroyed. He found this emblem, right? And then it says, like, the emblem has the number 11 on it. But Bill, in his TED talk, said only 12, the 12th level would be able to be saved. So he's like, all right, so that must mean that they had, like, a fake bunker in order for people who were, like, like an overfill bunker for people who were crazy to kind of like hide from the fact that only a select amount of people were going to this small bunker. And he says, when Kane questions him, he's like, "Wow, that's a really elaborate plan there, Jaha." And like, what made you come to that conclusion? Jaha's like, "Well, because that's totally what I would do."
Yeah.
This is Jaha move.
I am a psychopathic, like, cult-following person. That's what I would do. And therefore,
that's
I can read the mind of the person who used to own the second dawn. Aha.
Hey, though. Anyway, so Jaha's, he's assembling a very special team.
Oh, the
A-team.
Of
the greatest thinker. He literally says, "We need our thinkers available." He chooses Kane.
Oh.
First off,
well, I mean, at least they didn't choose Clark, is all I can say.
He's like, "Clark's not available," so.
No, that was his first choice, was Clark, but he was like, "Oh, Clark's not available."
Scratches out, like, he's got, like, the, a poster that's, like, the A-team.
Yeah, it's like, number one,
it's just Clark.
Number one is Clark, number two, insist on Clark again, number three, try to get Clark one more time, number four, try again.
Number five, Monty. All right.
And then Monty refuses to. It's just Kane.
He's just Kane.
It's actually, but like, somehow they go through an entire list and finally hit Kane.
And somehow they con Monty into getting onto the team.
And he's like, "Oh, wait, we're not going to play D&D? What? Damn it.
No. I made my character already." It was a halfling rogue.
Could have done it, bro. I'm sorry.
Last time I hang out with these two.
He was like, "Damn it."
So, goes to Harper and notices that she's a little depressed. Uh-huh. She's starting to heavily drink.
I wonder why.
Maybe not the fact that, you know, the world is ending. I feel like that's a little bit of a realistic take, honestly, to maybe be a little depressed. But hey, nuts to going deeper into that. They make out instead of discussing their emotional issues.
Look, you know,
that's much.
Sometimes it works, though. Sometimes that specific version of not discussing your emotional issues, sometimes it works. Just say.
Name an example.
Well, I mean, sometimes horny teens just need to be horny teens so that their hormones can go elsewhere, you know?
Star explains the science.
So when a,
in my
when
TED
a,
talk,
when a,
I will explain how making out cures depression.
So kids, when a boy and a girl, but this can also be any gender really, and then we're just going along that, just get really super
graphics and everything.
And this is why the 100s, this scene can possibly happen. Anyways, thank you guys for this TED
thank
talk.
You. Woo! Just like a big amount of applause. Abby and Jackson, they find out they just had to remove an anti-block blood clotting additive in order to stop the night blood from exploding.
Okay, hey, do you think we should take out this known anti-blood clotting agent in the serum? Nah.
What if low-key, like,
what
if low-key?
Who could that possibly harm?
Low-key, what if the fucking end of the series is Clark gets a blood clot and dies?
Except we aren't given that luxury.
In the middle of the action.
We're not gonna be given that luxury.
No. But whoops, sorry, dude. Exploded for nothing. They literally, they could have researched this. You could have tested it on some actual blood before you went to human. Like, you, if you put a tray of blood in that fucking machine and exploded it a little bit, it would have given you that same result.
Phoebe, they don't take the easy way out.
No, I don't think they care about lives.
They don't care, they just want to kill people.
What if it was a bullshit excuse, honestly? They were like, oh, maybe, Abby's like, oh, anti-blood clotting additive. If we remove that, maybe it will work. And Jackson's like, whatever, Abby, I'm fucking playing solitaire.
He's like,
right,
I get
now
paid 10 an hour, so the more you fuck up, actually, yeah,
works. I'm clocking
me
out right now, alright? No, I'm not spending my last week alive with your bullshit, Abby.
She's,
I gotta care about me.
I'm just saying, like, all she does is, he's like, you know, honestly, the more you fuck up, the better it is for me, so, just keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just leaning in the background
it's
on his phone.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
He's in the background on his phone, just chilling.
But yeah.
He's like, go ahead. Right.
I'm gonna wait to step in and say,
just let me know if you're gonna explode any humans.
Alright, cool. And I will make sure that does not happen. So, anyways, they're gonna text again. But who will it be on? Clark straight up looks at him
already.
She's like, Who will it be next? So, but anyways, while they're arguing, Luna finds some rocks. And the guy that got this guy was actually innocent. Rowan points out that you guys didn't realize the fact he didn't have the mark of his fucking clan that she said he was from.
Yeah,
you idiot.
That was a little weird.
Literally the one thing to tell that he is part of this clan and he didn't have it.
I wonder why.
Mort realizes that this entire plan is crumbling, so she tries to make a run for it. But an interesting part about this, though,
is that they're not gonna let her leave.
That is an interesting part of that. They're not gonna there is no escape. But another interesting part of this, though, is instead of it just being like, you lied about this guy, this guy's made up, they specifically mention, oh, this isn't the guy you said he was. Mm-hmm. So it implies that there actually was this guy, Amori actually was tortured, but she just said that's not the guy who did
but
it, you know?
Also, it's like, oh, you lied, therefore, you're a bad person.
Therefore, murder!
Therefore, you can be experimented on because you have committed the fallacy of lying to a griffin.
Oh, what, you actually were tortured, but not by this guy? Well, maybe you shouldn't have lied about him. Mm-hmm. And then, guess we're gonna just explode every cell in your body. Murphy freaks out about this. So, both him and Amori are captured.
Uh-oh.
Great friends, guys. So, two nutcases walking through the woods. One knows that something's wrong. One is very much unaware. He's the more dangerous one of them. But, they're walking along. Bellamy is whining and complaining like a little child.
Sometimes be like that.
Who needs to go to the bathroom on the road trip. And he's like, why are we out here? This is lame. The world's gonna end. We need to do something about that. Jasper just fucking whips around. He's like, okay, Bellamy. Will you please at least just admit the fact that you have maybe have some mental issues that you're not working through. Can you please? For once, just admit that. And then Jasper, in a pretty good scene, well acted by both of them, both Devin Bostick and Bob Morley, mm-hmm. Jasper goes on this entire, like, monologue about how none of Bellamy needs to, like, live with his choices because they're his choices and they're his reasons. And that he should really just own up to it mm-hmm. and stop blaming himself for them. Finally! Someone said it!
Somebody
and
really
it was Jasper!
Of all the people, the one guy who, like, really needed... No, you know what? The best characters always get the shittiest endings.
But no, I actually like how it's Jasper who is the one who, like, be like, Bellamy, get over your fucking issues! Because, like, you know, like, he is... I don't like how they make him mentally unstable, basically, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't like that. But at the very least, it's interesting to see that he sees that in Bellamy and is the one to call him out on that bullshit. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Good character interaction. Anyways, this is all a drug run, by the way. They're here for drugs. They're here for those nuts. And, like, straight up Bellamy's like, we're gonna take the nets again? I don't think I really want to.
Oh, well.
I got beat up by some ghosts.
Please, guys, just let me sit down for a little bit.
Did he ever tell anybody about that?
I think that might just be a little bit too embarrassing of a situation to talk about. They're, like, sitting around
the fire, and they're like, so, what happened when you, like, what happened when you went, like, what was your high like? What was that time?
And he was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna escape in the corner. Somebody else start talking so I can just, like, disappear into the background.
And they're like, Bellamy, what was your turn like? And he's just like,
nope.
It was wild, guys. Wild times. Let's talk about something else.
Hey, Clark, did you kill anybody recently? Anybody?
Anyways, cut from this amazing good character development scene to Clark and Co. literally tying up Murphy and Amore to experiment on her.
It be good. Good times. You remember those fun memories with your friends that make you want to stay alive forever and live with them? Yeah, this is a great one.
Start Happy Together starts playing in the background.
I've never heard that song.
Ba, 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 da, ba, ba, da, ba.
I can see myself being in Murphy's situation and definitely, like, turning down immortality to stay with this person forever.
I can see me loving nobody for all my life. Anyways,
in the rain, they're all like dancing in the rain.
Musical episode.
Hey, they're gonna do a tap dance in the rain around the lampposts and all that dumb shit.
Ain't this is what's happening in Clark's revisionist history mind. When she comes across this moment, no, everyone is super happy and dancing. I totally didn't, like, you know, commit atrocities. What are you talking about?
Just don't go into that room, okay? Anyways.
They're bitching about this because they don't want to be murderers. But, like, literally, all of you have murdered people. Yeah, many people.
I think it's a little too late for that, honey.
Clark's, like, at body count 600 by now. So anyways, they turn to Luna, and literally, Abby's like, okay, so, guess we're gonna use some more bone marrow, and Luna's like, no, I don't wanna do that, and then Abby's like, don't worry, it won't hurt you, and Luna's like, no, I don't want you to use my blood for war crimes.
Oh my god. Like, I guess they're just okay with using Luna as a test subject at this point.
Yeah, no, basically, they're like, alright, cough up that blood.
Yeah.
And she's like,
cough up that blood.
Yeah. Cough up that blood. So she's like, well, I guess I'm just gonna go out into the acid rain where you can't follow me.
Hey.
So unfortunately for her, she's got a limp, so she ain't going far. Rowan takes her out, but not for her getting a lack of trying. She kicks him senseless for quite a few times, even with a limp. So she's pretty badass. Alrighty. So no joke.
Yeah. Rowan still knocks her out.
Yeah, Lauren still locks her out, so now they are literally using Luna's bone marrow without her consent.
I mean, when was consent ever important?
I don't think consent exists in Sky Crew's language. There is no consent. Anyways, up in Polis, not a lot of people left. A lot of people have died from the Black Rain. Mm-hmm. Like, you see them just out there, bodies littering the streets. Not Indra, though. She's alive, because Black Rain ain't nothing to her.
Black Rain be nice. It's like a little walk in the rain, have some tea. I think Indra was honestly enjoying it. She was out on her patio drinking some tea, enjoying the, like, acid burning the ground.
Burning rain.
Every droplet will hit the ground and it's a little piece of smoke goes up.
She's like, what? Anyway, so she comes out, Kane and Jaha and Monty, they're the A-team. They're there. And they're like, hey, we need to go see Gaia. And Indra's like, yo, though, like, here's the thing. You sided with Esgeda and not me, alright? Like, don't catch that I didn't catch that, alright? Kane wants to talk to Gaia, though, because they think she has some information about where the second Dawn bunker might be. Anyways, this is where the plot goes straight to National Treasure mode, where it's like, they see her on Gaia's tattoo. There's the same second Dawn symbol, so now they know they need to go find Becca's tomb. And that's where they'll find maybe the bunker. So it's just like, again.
Yeah, I remember. Shittier. Wasn't there that thing that opened and they used like the same, not shot for shot, but they used the same type of shots that were used in like the National Treasure situation, like that movie, and they used it in this scene as well?
Yeah, that's later when they opened the thing, darn thing. But yeah, no, it's just weird. A weird direction for this plot to take. We're unfortunately going to cut to Abby.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, indeed.
she's like literally pulling out, extracting the bone marrow from Luna. And is like, just turns with kind of not even like with somber. She's kind of just like lighthearted a bit. She's kind of like, we do this and we find our humanity again. Again, after breaking the Geneva Convention.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're definitely going to be able to make it back. Experimenting
on this woman.
You're going to make it back from that. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely. She's like, oh, yeah. This is the moral high road right here. Anyways, Clark is watching all this. And then Rowan comes up. And he's like, yo, have you still not figured out that's basically impossible to remain on the moral high ground when you're being a leader? All right? Have you not figured that out yet, Clark? Because, like, it's a big deal. You still think that you can be the good guy when you are in the leadership position, even though you have to make tough choices. Mm-hmm. Have you not figured that out?
No, I mean.
Then he's like, well, I guess, well, knowing what's in the script and knowing what I'm here to do, I'm not having a fun time with it. But, anyways, I gotta give you praise now. Because, again, they won't let me be on the show if I don't at least make my Clark praise quotas. So, you're a good leader and all that. You were born to do this. All right. Well,
can I have my paycheck me, now? Gonna... And he's like jumping for it because Jason Rothenberg is holding it over his head.
No. My headcanon is that Rowan is in some way aware of the plot at all times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at least the actor is.
I mean, yeah, everyone is. Yeah, but
the actor
like,
is just like, I'm going to let I feel like Rowan's actor is one of the better actors on the show. So he's just like.
Yeah, because he's like, he's got like time. He has experience. Everyone else is kind of new. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm imagining that Rowan is kind of just like meandering through this entire thing. He's like, all right, you're born to do this. You're a great leader. Mm-hmm. This is what you have to do. I'm going to be in the hot tub if you need me. Mm-hmm. Bring a six-pack, of course, you know?
Yeah, I'm very much ready for just a chill hot tub vibe and all those pillows all those pillows, bring them down.
Yeah. I need a pillow, Clark. I'm taking a pillow. He's like, hey, Murphy! Oh, no, wait. You're handcuffed to a spaceship.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Well, you're not coming. That sucks. Anyways, everyone's welcome to join me. We cut back to Polis. Asgeda is blocking the way to the temple where Becca's tomb is. And Kane, once again, going with the amazing plan he did in season 2 of just give up all your weapons to the enemy.
I mean, it worked last time so well. Didn't they come across Alexa, who was a very important plot point?
Alexa?
No, the fact is that Kane gave up the weapons, and then that's how they found Lexa, right? And then Lexa ends up branding him. So it's like, there has been nothing but reinforcing that he made a bad idea. But he still does it here. This man can... Nobody in the 100 can learn a freaking lesson.
That's true, though.
And there we go.
No, they can't. They cannot. But anyways, Indra... Luckily, they have Indra, who is the living weapon, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But she picks up an assault rifle and just guns him down, and it's amazing. It's the first time she's ever used a gun, and she just lays him out. And then Kane is all like, they would have let us pass, and is all angry. Mm-hmm. And just like, all right, I don't know. I mean, you and your white privileged world are living in an existence in which there is no war, because literally everyone is keeping all the war from you. But let me just sum this up. Those guys want us dead. If they find out they can escape certain death while also keeping us in the death, then they almost certainly will take it from that opportunity for themselves. So I'm going to make sure that that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So
I know this is like very scandalous to you, but I'm going to actually like try to save a life, you know?
I'm gonna try to save our asses here. Jaha finds the door because they're able to, like, burn the emblem, which it's not actually Jaha or Kane who is able to figure out the functioning adults. It's Monty. He's like, you guys totally don't see this. Like, you're supposed to burn the amulet, you know? Which, okay, straight up, where did Cadogan get those? Did he make them? Did he order them?
Amazon might still be a thing.
All right.
Amazon was working until the drone stopped.
1,000 golden coins that can burn and turn into a different coin.
Yeah.
Prime.
Okay, just
ships in a day.
You know, yeah, like, so what, the nuclear apocalypse was happening. Amazon was going until the end there. Like, until the until the drones needed their maintenance.
Yeah, anyways. That's true. In fact, we have no confirmation that it's not still going.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, how do you think Clark finally figured out to get her platinum blonde hair from there?
That's true. It is from Amazon Prime.
Drones just zooming about.
Clark just gets, like, everyone's starving. They have no water. Clark, like, Amazon Prime's, like, a Dasani.
She's like,
it's like, no one else can have it.
What are you guys talking about? I don't have water. She goes and hides behind a tree.
Of course she would drink Dasani.
She would.
In a desert.
Her weird tasting water.
She would pick Dasani. In, like, of all of the water choices, like, she would very specifically, and, like, everyone else is starving.
Me.
She would use that power to drink Dasani.
Me, I'm just over here, just because. Like, choosing my water filter on my fridge. That's my water choice. Just,
we cut back to Arcadia, and it has straight up gone back to season one here. Everyone is dancing, making out, having a fun time. Mm-hmm. There's some, I don't know, dubcore music going on in the background.
That hurt my ears just to hear.
Jasper's all like, yeah, let's party. They make the nuts into a tea. They're gonna get lit. And Bellamy's like, I don't want to have fun. Or he kind of wants to have fun. But, you know, he's like, his, like, inner workings are not letting him have fun. Mm-hmm. Then, okay, I kid you not. It was absolutely, I'm like, wait a second. Wait a fucking second. Mm-hmm. This blonde girl walks up to him. And starts hitting on him. A very suspiciously blonde girl.
It's got, like, a thing for blondes, Bellamy?
It's like, huh. A blonde, Bellamy. Uh-huh. Really the only blonde in this fucking area. Oh. And you're into that. But no, it's actually especially funny. Because I think Bellamy has, like, again, he's a social, he's very socially inept, mm-hmm. quite frankly. So this blonde girl's like, hey, I want to dance. And he's like, I don't know how to dance.
He's just like, I don't know.
And then she's straight up to him is like, I don't want to dance either. That's not what I was talking about.
He's trying.
He's like, oh, you mean. Oh,
you mean the other dancing. Oh.
I got it.
Oh my lord.
And she takes him away. I want to see the extra scene where it's, instead of having any kind of sexual times, it's just Bellamy sitting on her bed crying.
The behind the scenes.
The immense emotional torture that he has not unpacked himself from the past 5 months.
And this is why he doesn't get dates.
Exactly.
This is why there are, like, no second dates.
He's, like, crying, and he's like, and then I killed 300 people, and she's like, it was for nothing, and she's like,
watch.
I'm gonna, there's a party back there, you wanna go back to the party,
she's
maybe,
like,
get something to drink?
I'm about
he's
to
like,
dodge
no,
a bullet.
I'm gonna dodge a bullet.
Quite literally, too.
Really?
I mean, you know, there's only one place
any girl
this could end up, with their debt, with her
you
debt.
Dead, yeah. Honestly? Because Bellamy doesn't have supportive girlfriends.
Well, they all die. So, I mean, there's not
exactly
much else
he
can do.
He can't. The universe corrects that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? In all fairness, though, good job, bud. You know, you deserve a break. You deserve to party a little. Go back to season one, Bellamy, just for a little bit. You know,
back to
the
good
world's
old
ending.
Days.
Back to the good old days when you were independent. You were an asshole, but you were an independent asshole. Mm-hmm. You know. While Bellamy's partying, we cut to Amori and Murphy desperately trying to escape from Clark's clutches.
I think that
they're
would be the
trying
to
escape
way
from
to say
Clark.
It.
And Amori goes to Murphy, and she's like, you gotta agree to this. You gotta be all right with this. If everything fails, I don't want you to be the next person to experiment
oh,
on.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah. That's really freaking wow. Like, she is not in that equation at all.
Yeah, well, no, it's straight up, like, it's also the telling that that's, like, very possible. Like, they straight up probably would have.
Yeah,
if it didn't work and they found another solution.
I don't think anybody was against that.
No, they probably would have done it to Murphy. They probably would have done some shit like, well, you murdered two people. Mm-hmm. And then they would have killed
him. By the way, you remember that time that you, like totally shot Raven and made her lose her ability in her leg? Yeah, we're gonna use that now.
Yeah, you're going into the tube now. Mm-hmm. We're
not gonna bring up the fact that Clark was literally sicked a mob on him.
They knock out Amori. John screams, desperately begs them not to take her. Like, goes to Miller, and he's like begging to everyone in very much desperation, trying to bargain to set her free. But Clark, best and greatest friend in the universe, takes her away to be experimented on. Now, I want you to remember this. John turns to Clark, and he goes, "If she dies, you die." Mm-hmm. And Clark's like, "Oh, that's quite a bit of a threat there.
Yeah, I'll make sure you just die then, okay?"
Okay then, like, "I'll just kill you then." And then she just turns to him, like, "I'll kill you next
I mean, you already listened in on me having sex. I don't really want you around anyways."
Yeah, honestly, I was looking for a way to ditch ya. So, hey, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. So, they're about to stick Amori. But for some reason, Abby is having trouble. I think it's just because she's high. She's like,
"What?
Is this a vein?" And she's like pointing the needle towards Amori's eye. And Clark's like, "Let me do that here." You know? "We only have so much of this. I don't want you to waste it." So, Clark's about to stick Amori. And, like, she's about to put the nightblood in bone marrow in her. Where she sticks herself instead, and they're gonna test it on her. Which, okay! Now, before we get to the next bit, which is a very special bit that I want to talk about.
Of course.
Here's the thing, when you think about this. You could see this as Clark finally deciding to do the moral high ground thing, right? Mm. Of being such a good-hearted character, she's willing to sacrifice herself, right? Mm-hmm. Until you realize... John was like, "If she dies, you die." And also, Rowan spent the whole time talking to Clark, being like, "Oh, it's a great, they'll be noble and a great sacrifice and heroes if they do this thing." So Clark is, if you take our headcanon, Clark is basically like, "Wait, if I do this, if I stick myself with this Nightblood, not only do I get to be the first Skycrew Nightblood ever, I get all the credit for saving everyone because I sacrificed myself." Yeah. I mean, it probably will work, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, second time's a charm. There's no anti-blood clotting agent, so that might be helpful.
I mean, I'm dead either way. So what's better? Either I die with nothing, and this girl gets all the credit and becomes a martyr, or I die a martyr, or I get all of the power and all of the attention. So she sticks herself with the Nightblood. And so now, this leads to one of my dearest stories from our commentary, our failed commentary. Mm-hmm. Which, so around, this was a long watch through, alright? Like this, we watched season 4 in like half of it in one day. We started with episode 5. It was a long day after Star worked. And this was your quarantine.
This was the
nobody judge.
Thing that I relaxed to. So, yeah. Quote unquote, relax.
There was a second thing you relaxed with. That was, in fact, alcohol. What was it? It was like vodka and.
I never took vodka. I hate vodka.
Oh.
It was rum.
Okay.
But sometimes it was wine.
Black tea lemonade from Chick-fil-A?
No, I never got. Do they have black tea lemonade at Chick-fil-A? That's just a Starbucks thing, right?
No, they have it at Chick-fil-A.
Well, I didn't know that. Well, anyways, I would usually mix it with lemonade, but I don't think... Lemonade I was probably Chick-fil-A. Just taking shots. Anyways, I got really pissed off at Clark, which, granted, was absolutely within my rights to be.
But, like, this was the moment. This was, like, it never got this bad. And honestly, again, within your rights, because it's a shitty thing to do. Mm-hmm. Because she literally, the entire time, is like, "Oh, we're gonna kill this one person. We're gonna kill a bunch of people and put them and experiment on them," when they never offer themselves to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, she never considers herself as a possibility to be the person to do this. No, she's doing it to other people. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so scummy for her to be like, "I'm on the moral high ground. I don't want to do this." But she still does it, and it's still awful.
I'll get rid of these grounders who are not, like, us Skycrew people. You know, Rowan would have been next, probably, like, on that list.
Yeah. Yeah, like, once she made her way down the list of all the people, it would have been... She probably would have stuck with, like, some grounders. Although Rowan wouldn't let them. they wouldn't have let Rowan.
No, Rowan would have won. Unless just, he was nerfed by the script.
Unless
script.
He slipped on a banana peel or something.
Yeah, because, you know, the script would nerf him that way.
Exactly. But, so, you're like... but this all led to one of my favorite moments. Do you want me to read it through to it? Or do you want me to just describe it?
I mean, you could do a read through, but I feel like I could do an accurate read through as well.
You
but
know what?
You want to feel it.
Do a read. You do a read
I mean,
through.
Does it have to be angry? I could just do it like the terrible grammar this is.
The terrible. Yeah, because I used an auto transcriber. Okay. So not a few, because some of the anger and the heat, some words didn't come across.
I was very angry. Some of it, there's a part where, like, I'm getting calmed down, and that's just Phoebe trying to, like, interrupt me and calm me down, except I didn't.
yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so in all of its grammatically mistaken glory, I'm going to read it out. I'm not going to try to imitate the
but
anger.
But also clear up the last bit, because the last bit is absolutely amazing. Like, the very specific threat.
Oh yes, so I guess I was so drunk that Eliza Taylor and Clark kind of blurred lines there, and I just was really angry at Clark. So I threatened to go. Did I threaten to go to Australia? Yeah, I did.
You threatened very clearly
to
fly to Australia.
And then I said, like, punch Clark and Juliet Taylor. Punch Clark and Eliza Taylor.
Punch Clark. Both. Well, no, what you said, I was going to punch Clark, fly to Australia and punch Clark. And that bit is me going, oh, Eliza Taylor. But the software thought it was both of us saying that, so.
it was basically like Clark and Eliza Taylor.
And I was like, oh, Eliza Taylor and Eliza Taylor. Both of them.
So I was like, yeah, as you can see, it spurred a lot of emotion. I believe this was the moment that I completely fell onto the Clark hate train. So,
oh, yeah, yes. This is when it was solid.
I don't think I can imitate the same anger, but here we go. You. I would kill her if I had the chance. It'll work this time. Oh, does that make it okay? Clark, does that make it okay if it'll work this time? Why don't you let yourself have the poison? Why don't you do it? If she's so sure it'll work, put Clark on the table. You don't have to put the people who are prisoners, who did nothing wrong. She can do it so much, hate her so much. Hate her so much. Anytime I said I hate so much, it would just change it to haters.
The haters.
You're not forgetting, but you're not putting yourself on the table, are you? No, you don't need to do this, but you don't care more than about yourself than you do anybody, and you're so willing to put judgment on people who don't deserve your judgment. If she doesn't sacrifice herself, hate her. I hate her so nice. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yo, you die. She means to be sacrificing herself, though. She is sick, manipulative bastard. I hate her. Oh, I hate Abby and Clark. Sorry. I'm so sorry that this is all fair, really stopping the show from being excellent. You know, it just good show. How can you say that? How can you pass judgment on people? No, you're not going to put yourself on the table, jerk. You're not going to do it. Do it, not you. I thought maybe twice. There was a chance, but no, you have to do it. You can do it to yourself. Good job, Abby. Oh my god, good job. All right, calm down.
This is the point in which just Abby, decided not to do it.
And this is you calming me down right now. Just keep watching.
So in between this... So you're like, good job, Abby. Good job, Abby. And then Clark takes it up, and you're like, oh my god! Ah! And like this, like legit screaming. And I'm like, okay, calm down. Calm down.
It's okay.
Just keep watching. Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
It's fine.
Okay,
it's fine.
Don't worry.
And then it's just like, don't worry to like, and then as soon, that's when like it blends into me speaking, the auto text.
Yeah.
Don't worry about to like literally punch, like I will fly to Australia and punch Clark and you're like Elizabeth Julie. It auto spoke it to Julie's Taylor. In the face.
Delies it Taylor.
Her husband, like, she deserves it. They don't have to. Why don't you shoot yourself with a syringe? Oh my god. Thank god. I was dying. Oh my god. I was about to punch Taylor. Thank you, Clark. I hated her so much. End quote. Jesus. There was so much there. I could feel the anger through my words.
Oh, it was so... That was the moment, like, straight up, I was trying to keep as much silent about what was going to happen as possible, And I think I did a good job. Mm-hmm. There were some moments in which I was hysterically laughing at a thing you said once or twice, mm-hmm. where I was like, oh, that's going to bite her in the ass. But I think I did a good job of keeping what was going to happen secret.
I don't think anything bit me in the ass. I was just like, fuck Clark. And I still say
no,
fuck
like,
Clark.
No, other points throughout the show, you were like, you would say some things, and I'd be like, mm-hmm. especially relating to the episode we're going to get to probably next week, maybe week after. Mm. Very special episode. This is definitely the moment where I was like, I feared. I'm going to step in here as the 100 chaperone and be like, no, it's okay. It's very funny, though. Just, I think the raw power of just out of the blue saying, you're willing to fly, like, pay for a ticket to another country, another continent. And punch the actress.
But I said Clark, didn't I? I said Clark, and no, you said Eliza Taylor.
Yeah, and I said Eliza Taylor. But, and punch. Well, you're gonna fly to Australia and punch Clark. Just a random person.
It can only be Eliza Taylor when she is in the acting mode of Clark. Like, that is when the hanger
comes
on.
Put on the makeup!
Put on the makeup, dye your hair red, put on the dreads.
So, now we know I'm not the only one who has threatened violence on these actors.
I just threatened the Clark persona. I would like it to be known. I threatened the Clark persona. So,
FBI. I would also like it to be known that I never threatened anybody. Most of those were jokes.
Please don't hit me up. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, no. But if you guys do want to fight us...
I would probably lose. Thank you.
Yeah,
bye.
I have a tire iron. I'm not gonna lose. What are you talking about?
I'm just gonna, like, take the ship and go elsewhere. You have fun, Phoebe. Bye.
Well, this is what solidarity's for. I try to start a background fight with, like, two Australian actors, and you're just gonna leave me.
I mean, I never said I would stay, so I don't feel bad about that.
You don't feel bad about it. Well, some 100 friend you are. Anyways, but... amazing moment. Love to share it. In all of its bad English glory. It was so good. I don't think the alcohol really impaired it that much. Mm-hmm. It just didn't leave any filter. The feelings were still there.
Yeah,
they were still raw.
We still dislike Clark.
I think that was the moment where it's like, and this is the worst character of all time. Abby now has some reservations mm-hmm. about sending her daughter in there. Mm-hmm. She's like, now she has them. Now she's like, oh, wait, no, you're totally gonna die.
she's like,
I made all that shit up, alright? That was completely made up. You are going to die if you go in there, alright?
She's like,
there,
oh,
right?
I just saw somebody explode. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Now she's like, oh, wait, this bitch? Nah, I need her around to manipulate her more. You're not going in. But, so, this results in Abby... destroying the radiation emitter. So, they can't test the night blood. They don't know whether or not the blood will work. There's no plan. Shit's still fucked.
I feel like
great.
If Abby
Thanks,
was
Abby.
So worried, why didn't she just try it on herself?
No, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. She only cares about herself. That would put her in danger.
Yeah. So, like, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Abby's just the worst. Abby is just...
literally could have just, like, stuck herself with something and just put herself through the radiation. But she's like, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. And I don't want my daughter to die because that would make me a bad
mom.
Even
though I'm literally condemning her to death.
I mean, I already literally threw her out of a spaceship and sent her down to an irradiated Earth. I obviously don't care, but
it's
helpful to have a daughter around to look like a caring parent.
To get discounts.
Yeah, you know, I get the senior
citizen. Get Kane to love me because he really wants to be a parent.
You know,
I
told him the only reason he doesn't think I'm a psychopath is because I told him it was all for my daughter's sake. So,
I need it.
I kind of need Clark.
In all fairness, though, this whole plan about using the bone marrow to, like, make nightbloods, it would have never worked. Like, never. Mm-hmm. It would have never worked. Arcadia is both out of food, and as we learned from the Black Rain episode, I forgot to mention, they're out of water because the Black Rain turned all the water into poison.
Oh.
So, there's no way to get all of that back with the radiation, alright? There's no way to grow food. There's no way to hunt. The water's still fucked. So yeah.
Hey guys.
Even if you're a Nightblood, that ain't gonna do well. Also, most of your shelter is burnt down. No one is living past this, really. It's not gonna be a good life. Also, getting enough bone marrow still would have taken time, and it's about a week till die o'clock, so, you know.
Yeah, you know. It's all fine, guys, I'm sure.
Yeah. Plus, you only have enough samples for 8 people if we're going off of Mount Weather's map, mm-hmm. and you already used up one of those on that other guy, so you only have, like, after Clark, you only have 6 more samples, so, yeah. 6 people get to survive the world. Great.
Well, guys, you know? I'm wishing the best for you. Have a great day.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. This plan would never go to work. And then Clark was like, all last episode, she was like, don't worry, guys. It's fine that Arcadia exploded. It's fine. We'll figure out another plan. There was no other plan.
Who needs Everything's plans?
Everything's fucked.
Who needs plans,
But
guys?
Wait.
What?
Maybe it's not fucked. Because Monty does figure out the burning emblem trick.
Oh!
And it turns out they get the key to the bunker. The bunker exists.
Oh,
so they save.
Snap.
Also, every clan that's in a position of power is now going to come knocking at their door demanding blood. Because Sky Crew, fan favorite, now has a bunker in their control.
Uh-oh.
That's not going to lead to political turmoil.
Anyways.
And that's the end of the episode.
Hey,
what are we going to get up to next time? I forgot to end the section.
No, a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about Clark for sure, which I'm just not into.
Oh, yeah, it's very funny. She tries to become the commander.
Oh.
She finally gets to tick that box.
She really, really is put. That's always
like,
what it's been
first
after,
plan.
Isn't it?
That's her first plan.
That's always.
Become commander.
It's always been what
that's
she wanted.
Always been her plan.
Let's be reasonable.
We also get the return of Grounder Pounder, who is now trying to find her own. Now that Lincoln is no longer a plot line, that is relevant.
Thank God.
And we get another moment. Mm. We have fan favorite episode. One of pretty much the fan base's go-to favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. One that Star maybe not have liked a little bit.
What was that?
Leading to yet another amazing moment from our commentary.
I have a lot of moments where I get pissed off. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Oh, this one was very special. Crying was involved.
Oh. Anyways,
that's gonna be on next time of Floating Ourselves Star. Where can they find us?
You know, anywhere where like podcasts are posted. Leave us a review on iTunes. Tell us something. Actually, email us something. I would like to hear from y'all if we have any.
Yeah, please.
Listening. Send us your blurfy fan fictions. Phoebe really wants it.
Why? Why do you always have to do this to me?
Because no one's gonna send it in until you know. Finally, I ask enough.
I thought the break would be enough.
Nah,
I thought
that's
the
only
break
thing
would
I'm
be
looking
enough.
Forward to with this whole podcast is finally to have some blurfy fanfiction sent to Phoebe.
No,
anyways,
no.
That's all for me. You can find me on Twitter at One Star Reviews or One Star Tie, and then you can find my channel at One Star Reviews. Where can they find you, Phoebs?
I am at Edgy for Christ.
It'd be nice.
And nothing else yet, as of yet. But hey, that's the end of our show. We might have a bonus rewrite episode out soon. Maybe not next week, but maybe in a little while. You know, we'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
And we'll see how it goes. And that, hey, we're glad to be back. We're glad to be back on this train because goodness knows we're never going to leave this thing. It's never going to rest.
Choo-choo,
you know?
Bitches.
It's not going to rest until it's done. Bye.
Bye.